Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Shannon Kring joins us to answer the very interesting question, are plants psychic? But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Can you describe a little bit to us what you do?
You're stumbling over those words. Yes, I am a psychic empath, and I utilize tarot as my main tool to help people, and I work over at PsychicAccess.com, and I love my work, and it's what I must do, and I do it.
And you do it so well. I got to tell you, Maureen, I mean, thinking about tonight's topic, are plants psychic? You know, that question just has my imagination racing, you know. Aren't you excited about hearing what Shannon has to say?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer. I don't use that word often, do I? I know that plants, they do respond to our energies. It's proven fact. I'm really looking forward to it. Yes,
I certainly respond to their energy as well. I mean, I love banana peppers, and Lord knows all the vegetables and plants that I love. Well, anyway, Steve, tonight you're going to answer a very fascinating question, my friend. Are plants psychic? Can you tell us a little bit about Shannon? But before you do, why not describe some of your talents that you use at PsychicAccess.com?
Sure, Stephen. Well, I'm a psychic medium, which means that I connect with people in spirit to demonstrate, in effect, that life continues once we've finished this step in our journey here on Earth. I'm also an astrologer, and I enjoy using astrological insight to answer all kinds of questions, from how a person's finances will be next year to when they'll find love, etc. All a lot of fun, and I'm very pleased to have Shannon Kring with us again this evening. Before Shannon joins us, I'd like to tell you all a little bit about her. She's a fascinating lady, and we have had Shannon on the show before, but it's wonderful to have her back. She left behind her career as the executive producer and co-star of her own Emmy Award-winning reality cook series. And she's the author of a number of award-winning nonfiction books, the owner of an acclaimed culinary brand consisting of restaurants, culinary schools, a restaurant consultancy, international culinary tours, branded merchandise, endorsement contracts, and a QVC deal. And she moved to a remote Maya Chorti village on the Honduras-Guatemala border, bringing just one suitcase and three goals for inner achievement to heal her heart, to reconnect with her spirituality, and to discover her higher purpose. And she did just that. Shannon recently wrote, directed, and produced her first documentary film, 2012, The Beginning, and it aired on more than a dozen top television networks worldwide and was the most watched film at MIP Doc 2012 in Cannes. Now, Shannon resides in Los Angeles, where she's in pre-production on a new television series. And she's also producing a documentary shorts series chronicling the lives and thoughts of wisdom keepers around the world. And she's working on her first novel. Now, if you would like more information on Shannon and her work, please visit her website. It's shannonkring.com. Shannon with two N's, and Kring is K-R-I-N-G. I really do recommend you take a look at Shannon's site. There's really a lot of wonderful information there. Well, Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back.
You're welcome, Shannon. When we heard about your latest project, we decided we had to have you with us.
That's great. Thank you so much. It was an amazing project that is actually going to be complete. We'll be finished with editing this week. So we shot 29 episodes in 6 countries, and it's called Secrets of the Ancient Healers, Medicines of the Americas.
Wonderful. Well, Shannon, let me ask you first of all then to tell us a little about this fascinating series. What were you researching? What were you discovering?
Well, I'm actually doing it with Nick Polizzi. Nick made a wonderful film called The Sacred Science, in which he took 8 people with terminal illness down to Peru and had them participate in shamanic healing, including ayahuasca ceremonies. Now, drugs like this, herbs like this, are not for everyone, certainly. And Nick and I just got to talking about, hey, you know, there are so many that are not psychotropic and, you know, hallucinogenic and things like this that people have readily available access to, and what do they do, and how do indigenous people, for instance, use those herbs? And so Nick and I set out earlier this year and we traveled the Americas to investigate this indigenous plant medicine tradition. And we looked at sacred foodstuffs and herbal remedies and really time-honored cures. And we went all over the place. We shopped in Peru and Guatemala and Honduras and all over the U.S., Costa Rica and Brazil. And we worked with, about 30 ethnobotanists and shamans and folk healers and scholars who really took us out into the jungle and into the forest and their lives and their work. And we participated in a number of sacred ceremonies and healing rituals. And the idea behind investigating these 135 herbs about 300 herbal remedies was, you know, how can we call on these time-honored traditions to heal ourselves today? So many people just don't want to rely anymore on the big pharma cues that were being given. And I'll tell you, I learned so much.
Wow, well, it sounds really interesting, Shannon. Did you find similarities in their philosophy? Are there similarities between the different healers, the different shamans, even though they're in very different locations?
Absolutely. So this is not my first, contact with this type of medicine. I've been studying it now since I was, about 16 for the first time. And, I've gone and I've learned in India from the great Ayurvedic teachings, and lived in the Maya lands and then later Scandinavia. And these are 3 places where herbal remedies are just the norm. You reach for an herbal remedy first. And I can say that what we found across the Americas really matches with what I've learned in places like India and Finland and Norway and Honduras. They're all kind of saying the same things. And it starts with really respecting the plant. Now, we really don't in the Western world have this idea of respecting a plant, but we were taught by so many of these people how to ask permission, for instance, before you pick a plant. Now, most of us just go out and pick a flower, right, or pick a plant. But we were taught by so many of these people that the plant has its medicine and its energy as its life force. And if you just go and pick it up from the ground without asking permission, all of the medicine will stay behind in the ground, which is just fascinating, this idea, but it really makes sense to me. And we also all spoke about how to use our intuition to be guided to the plants that we need. So many of them said, you know, the plants call me. One of them in Costa Rica was telling us that when she was back home in Brazil, she had a patient that she had no idea how to cure. And she said one day when she was out walking, she just saw this plant just start waving at her, is how she described it. She said there was really no wind, no other plants, the trees were moving, and this plant was shaking. And sure enough, she gave her prayers, made her offering to the plant, as most of these people do, if not all. And then she took it, brought it back, gave it to the woman who had been suffering for years from a debilitating illness. And the woman is completely healthy today. We also heard about plants making noise. To call to the practitioner to a noise, whether it was a clicking sound or a rustling of the leaves. It's just really fascinating that the plants talk to us, because we hear people, of course, talking to their plants, even people who are not really quote-unquote out there, that people talk to their plants. But we were told everywhere we traveled that the plants talk back, if only you can listen.
Wow. So you found that the plants do react to these inquiries, to these requests for healing?
Absolutely. We even heard of a woman who gets her information through dreams. She was fascinating. An 88-year-old bush medicine healer in the Caribbean. We also did a Caribbean island series. And this one woman had a similar story to the woman I mentioned back in the news, where she didn't know how to cure this particular person. And it was a gentleman who had severe back pain, and he couldn't work anymore. He did physical labor and was really laid up. His back was stooped over. And she had asked before she went to sleep that the plant that she needed would come to her in her dream. And sure enough, it did. Now, here's the interesting thing about this woman is her mother, who was a famous bush medicine woman, mother comes to her in her dreams and she'll show her the plant. She doesn't give any verbal message or anything like that, but she's still unable to see the plant. And sometimes I don't even know what the plant is. But then I'm able to ask other healers, you know, hey, it's like, you know, it has these little flowers, probably 20, 30 little flowers on the head, and what could this possibly be? So it's just, to me, this is just absolutely fascinating. But again, I need to hit home this idea that it doesn't matter if you're talking to them, if you're not speaking to them with respect and honoring them in the way that you should, by saying a little prayer or asking permission, doing both, as well as many traditions will give tobacco for the tree, for instance, both in North and Central and South America, that they'll you know, give an offering to the plant and ask permission. Some North American tribes, for instance, will take some of their hair, and give that to the plant and say, can I pick these? Can I eat these? Good. And one of the really awesome things we had heard along the way was this medicine woman. Her name is Rosita Ardigo, and she's a famous ethnobotanist. And she had studied with this guy called Don Alicio Tanti, and he died at the age of 103 back in 1996. And she actually studied with him. He was the last great Maya Hamen, meaning one who knows. And so he taught her all sorts of healing traditions, including a prayer that she doesn't often share with people that she shared in the series. She encourages us, you know, you don't have to say this prayer, but make up your own prayer. And, you know, just say that before you go about even picking plants out of your own garden, because they'll have more vitamins and nutrients. And this is coming from a woman who's an actual doctor as well. So, just it's such a cool thing to be welcomed into these worlds and to learn all of this.
It sounds fascinating, Shannon. Were they able to, or is there proof that in effect when we ask the plant for permission, that it retains more vitamins, for example?
I'm not sure if any studies have been done, but there have been studies done on plants speaking to one another. So okay. This is a whole other idea. This is fascinating. So, and you can Google that, like plants talking to each other. There was a study by the University of Aberdeen, for instance, that I think came out in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And there have been other studies on that. However, this is really interesting. So, the idea that the plants talk to one another, not just with us, is one that is long held by first world people the world over. And, a lot of these ethnobotanists were telling us that they'll often go to the plant and they'll say, okay, which one of you wants to come with us? And they said there's always a plant chief, a head plant, and that plant sometimes offers itself up because it's usually older. Usually you're not supposed to pick the really young ones because you're supposed to let them come into their prime and they'll have more medicine that way. But you're supposed to not just ask permission of that particular plant, but of the whole group of plants because they're in communication. And so if you want all of those plants to be able to continue to nurture you, you should be asking permission of all of them because they are always in communication.
I read, Shannon, that there is also evidence that plants can react psychically. So, for example, if there are a number of plants in an experiment and one of those plants is deliberately damaged or hurt, then there's proof that the other plants empathize and react psychically, in effect, to the pain of the plant that was mishandled or mistreated.
Absolutely, and that was also a fascinating thing, this idea of the pain. There are studies being conducted, and there have been a few already. Do plants feel pain? Do they feel pain when we, lop off half of them and graft it onto another plant, for instance? Do trees feel pain when you cut them? This is a really fascinating area, and I think we're going to see more studies on this. You know, all of the drug companies are relying on medicines, the cosmetic companies. You know, we ran into them all over down there. The cosmetic companies coming down and buying seeds and nuts and plants, and then there's this whole thing with the battles of like Monsanto coming down and supposedly stealing heirloom seeds and things like this. So I think that as we become more reliant on plants, even if it's not in a traditional way, if it's through, you know, through normal commercialism, I think we're going to be examining these things more. Another thing, speaking of the whole psychic idea with plants, is this notion of plants for psychic protection. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, Steve, but, this notion that a plant can provide protection is perhaps, strange to us modern Westerners, but that was once the norm for people everywhere in the world and still is for indigenous people, the idea that a plant can give us protection. And I'll give you a few examples of some cool things we've learned. So there's this copal tree, which is the sacred tree of the Maya, and it's tapered bark tree that really looks like an elephant trunk. We sometimes call it the elephant tree. And it's been used medicinally and ceremoniously by Mesoamerican people since pre-Columbia times. And that is used to ward off negativity and psychic attack. And how it's used is the Maya people will slice open the copal tree during the full moon. They'll just take a piece of bark, like a 1-inch by 6-inch piece, for instance, of the bark. And then they either use it as a concoction being similar to a tea, but instead of pouring water over an herb, you actually boil the bark or the root or the stem in the water. It's for tougher parts of the plant, or they burn it. And not only is this, plant just wonderful for all sorts of medical conditions like toothaches and rashes and chicken pox and fevers and funguses and parasites, all sorts of things. They say that it guides you and it has protection. It's offered to the sacred fire during sacred fire ceremonies. It's actually made shaped into little coins that people offer to the fire as payment to the gods. It's also fashioned out the sap from the tree, and pieces of bark are fashioned into little discs that they press a thumbprint into, and you actually just hold the little thumbprint sap disc to your head, and you psychically talk to that copal or to the spirit of the tree from which it came, and you offer your prayers, and then you place it in the sacred fire. And the idea is that yes, the copal is protecting you, it's giving you good things, but it's also a carrier. It carries the prayers and the messages to you. Basil basil is such a readily available plant all over the world, and it's really powerful for, it's got like loaded with vitamin K, and it's good for blood clotting, strong bones, and heart health, and it's antibacterial, it stops gas, uterine infection, cramps, PMS, all sorts of things. But it's also considered one of the top, most powerful plants in spiritual healing as well, and in psychic, warding off psychic attacks. It's good for grief and envy and fear and evil. And you see a lot of the Maya people, for instance, that carry a sprig of basil with them. Well, let's say they're going into a situation that they know is going to be not very pleasant. They'll carry that basil for the psychic protection. And they will also sleep with a bundle under their bed if they think that someone is wishing them ill, if someone has envy towards them or is deliberately trying to send them negative energy, you know, practicing black magic. That's a big thing in that part of the world, because there is black magic. And now they'll sleep with the basil under their bed. They'll also drink it. Rue has been used by people in Europe for thousands of years. And it's been used also in the Americas for a very long time. And it's an evergreen shrub that has yellow flowers. And its name comes from the Greek word for rua, which means to set free. And the idea is that it sets you free, yes, from disease, but also from psychic attack and from energy attacks, like envy, evil eye, fear, and even grief. And it's used just by many people who didn't have any contact with one another for these things. And they would place sprigs over the doorway in a cross formation, for instance. And so we ran into this a lot. People from really different traditions, different backgrounds, people who haven't come into contact with one another until pretty recently or never have. And they use the plant in the same way. And they all explain that, well, of course, it's because the plant told us to use it in that way. And I could go on and on about this, about these plants that ward off negativity. But it's just that whole idea is also very fascinating.
It makes you think, especially when you consider the geography of Latin America and the regions, for example, in Brazil, that have never even been visited by human beings.
Absolutely.
There are some locations that literally have never been reached.
Right. And what was really interesting to us, because Nick and I have both done, you know, work in other parts of the world, so we were familiar with a lot of these plants before they were mentioned to us. And what was really interesting is people would give us a name, and we had no idea what the plant was. They would give us a very strange name. We spent forever trying to track one of the plants down, for instance, which was just described to us as Ola, 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 they kept saying, Anima Ola. And they didn't know how to spell. Many of these people, you know, can't write or read. And they've got this incredible knowledge that has been passed down through the years. And we would find out after we would do the plant research that, oh my gosh, you know, we have six different people in four different countries talking about the same plant. And that's how you know a plant is really, really powerful, if it's known by many people in many lands by many names. And, you know, they use them in the same way. That's what's really, really fascinating to me, that, you know, sometimes they'll prepare, let's say, a tea a little differently. But some of them are always used for creams or for salves. Some are used in tea. Some are crushed. Sometimes they're chewed. The leaves are chewed. You know, sometimes they'll just use them in baths, and they'll cure people. Oh, yeah, in England we do that. We do baths with that herb. And then we find out, oh, yeah, the Kiero shamans also do it down in Peru. It's really just amazing. And that leads me to believe that, yes, these plants are speaking to us.
It's incredible. What do the indigenous healers have to say about pharmaceuticals, Shannon?
Well, it was really interesting. We spoke with one woman called Ilica, and she was in the highlands of Guatemala. And she said, look, I'm not against pharmaceutical drugs. She's an herbalist. She comes from an order of herbalists, actually. There's an order that you have to be a woman, and you have to practice midwifery in addition to herbalism. And they grow their own herbs and pray over them every day and make offerings to them every day. And it was really spectacular visiting that, and you'll see it on screen when this comes out. It's wonderful. But anyway, she was saying, I'm not against pharmaceuticals. There's nothing wrong with taking pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceutical drugs will work faster. And, you know, you'll see the payoff right away. She said herbs take longer. And that's a problem in today's society, that most people don't want to wait. And while they take longer to work, she said they often come with little to no side effects. And she said, we just happen to believe that what is natural is best. Now, that being said, we did run into people such as David Winston, who is a really world-renowned ethnobotanist. He said, you know, just because something's natural, just because something's a plant, doesn't necessarily mean it's safe. For cooking herbs, most of those are safe no matter what. But for medicinal herbs, you kind of need to know what you're doing before you use them. It goes beyond, you know, talking to the plant and trusting your gut reaction, because a lot of people talk about that too. You have to trust your gut. If something seems wrong for you to take, and that goes for pharmaceuticals or herbs, then you really shouldn't be taking it. That's your intuition guiding you, just as the plants guide you. Of course, our intuition itself, for what's good for us, guides us.
It's very interesting, extremely interesting. So, Shannon, did you ask also if there, we've talked about, or you mentioned some of the hallucinogenic herbs used, and you've spoken a lot about the healing properties of herbs. Did you have any conversations about herbs that may, for example, enhance abilities, you know, a herb that may aid with concentration, or that might heighten creativity, or even heighten psychic ability?
Oh, yes, definitely. Most of the plants are actually believed to heighten the senses. Many of these power plants. Now, of course, there are plants such as ayahuasca, or there's something called Santo Domingo, which is known as Aztec tobacco or mapacha. Bioja sacha is another one we came across. That's a protective plant that wards off evil and negativity, your own negativity as well. I have to say, it's not just psychic attacks, but your own negativity. It stops you from projecting negativity on others and feeling it about yourself. You know, these are some of the power plants. They're called like Mother. There's one called Madre de Cacao in Central America, Mother Cacao. These mother plants are really, really strong ones that you don't want to be messing with. You don't want to just be administering them if you don't know what you're doing. And sadly, that is happening. It's become really cool out here in California, for instance, to go to the ayahuasca ceremonies. And, you know, you're being administered by some 30-year-old guy who happened to smuggle it back from his travels in South America, has no idea how to deal with the plant, much less deal with potential reactions, which the reactions to plants like this are really strong. You know, there are some plants such as the Floricumbia is one of them that they came across in Central and South America that is amazing when used in very, very small doses in terms of helping depression, stopping people from having suicidal thoughts, making people calm down. But if you administer just a couple extra drops of the leaf extract, for instance, it can kill you. It can result in paralysis, seizures, all sorts of things. So if the practitioners really don't know how to use it, it can be dangerous. So one message that we were given over and over again about these stronger plants was, and I guess the most beautiful way that it was said was this guy from the Amazon, Hero Shaman, who talked about, he said, look, if you can't honor and take care of your health plants, you have no business working with the power plants like ayahuasca. He said, start small. Start with an herb, little, you know, tray of herbal plants in the kitchen, in your windowsill. Can you nurture those? Can you keep that alive? Move on to health plans. Start with something simple, like a cactus or something that doesn't need as much care, and move up. And you need to learn to honor these plants before you go to the big one. Because, first of all of the plants have their own energetic, and they all have their purpose. But the big ones you better really come to those with reverence, with great respect, and knowing how to use them. So I love that, don't you? That if you can't take care of your houseplants, you know, you shouldn't be running off to do an ayahuasca ceremony.
Yes, it's a very good point, isn't it? Very good point. Yeah. I think that also, Shannon, I often say to clients that I feel strongly it's very beneficial to nurture, whether that's to nurture a friend or an elderly relative or a child. I feel that there's a huge amount of spiritual development that comes from nurturing, and that includes nurturing a pet, taking care of a pet, nurturing plants, showing respect for nature and for the planet. And I really do passionately believe that there's a great spiritual benefit in nurturance.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's funny you say this. I haven't really thought of it so much until now. But when I was younger, I've always just loved plants. And I was a little kid, I'd always try to eat house plants to see what they tasted like and what they do to me. And my mom was constantly like, "Don't sit down, you'll kill yourself." You know, I love plants. So I would have these beautiful house plants and they would die all the time. And I had this native healer come over once that I was studying with, and she said, "Well, look, there's negativity in your household. You know, I was having some marital problems in a past marriage," and she said, "You know, plants heal that." And now my plants do so well. And I think a big part of it is because I have, first of all, I have a strong ambient atmosphere in my home, but I become a much kinder, more nurturing person. You know, when I was younger, I really didn't like myself very much. I suffered from eating disorders and a lot of just self-loathing and things. And I wouldn't doubt that that had something to do with it. I wasn't able to care for the plant and nurture it like I should because I couldn't nurture myself, but also just that negativity around me. And this is something interesting that I didn't learn in making this series, but just on my own. So I travel a lot to do film and television work, and I speak at a lot of conferences. And I keep orchids. I keep a lot of orchids in my home. And when I had come home, this was about 3 months ago, I came home from a trip and every single orchid was dead. Now, they shouldn't have been. They were being cared for in my absence, and nothing had changed in my home. They just, all of them lost their beautiful flowers. So I replaced them with some other orchids. And again, when I went away, the orchids died. Well, when I had gone to repurchase from this gentleman who actually, he's a Chinese man who competes in these orchid shows, and he has his family has orchids that they've been, you know, growing from the same seeds for hundreds of years, he said. And anyway, he had told me, "Hey, that happens all the time, actually. If you form some sort of very deep bond with an orchid," he said, "orchids are the most sensitive, in his belief, most sensitive plants. If you form a bond with them and you're not there to nurture them and to allow them to nurture you," he said, "they will die." And he said, "He has it." And I said, "Not everyone has that sort of connection with plants," but he said that that's really possible. And now I'm talking this last trip that I took where I lost all my orchids. I was gone 7 days. You know, an orchid doesn't even need water in 7 days. So this is really interesting. And another interesting thing about houseplants, talk about like the plants calling you. So recently there's been talk in my home about, okay, should we start a family? And questions of fertility and things like this. And I was became obsessed around this time with getting a fiddle leaf fig plant. There are these trees that you can get them as I wanted it to grow on a single stem, and they have these massive, thick, bright green, shiny leaves. And so I really wanted this, and I never coveted a plant like I did this one. And I went out of my way to try to find one, finally found it. It cost a fortune, and I just absolutely loved it. And I thought, there's something strange that I talk to this plant, and I make jokes about how, you know, I love it, and it's like my child, how I care for it, and what it gives me. And, you know, just jokingly kind of say these things, but there is some shred of truth to it. And I really had to dig hard. But finally, I found what the energy is of that plant and what it's traditionally used for. In its native West Africa, it is the plant of fertility. And if a woman was, say, older and was having fertility problems, they would put one of those in her home. And I thought, this is just too much. You know, there is something to this. And it's like, okay, that explains it. You just look at your plants differently when you learn what their energy is. You know, it's like stones. A lot of people know about stones, gemstones, and what the different gemstones mean. It's not how they knock the long way, what the different plants mean. But I do really think it's going to come back.
Well, yes, and you know, I'm an astrologer, and one of the things we learn in astrology is that the different energies, the different archetypes are correlated. Mm. So, for example, you can take a sign of the zodiac or a planet in our solar system and identify gems or herbs or colors, sounds even, that resonate to that same energy. So that enables you to look at discord within yourself, look at discord in your natal chart, and even identify herbs or gemstones that could help you to balance the energies. Well, Shannon, we're going to take a short break just for a moment, and then we'll come back and we'll continue. I've got lots more questions for you.
Great, thanks.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Shannon. I know that I'm all excited. I've got so many questions to ask you, and you had more to say about the plants that can heighten abilities, such as psychic ability. So, should we go back to that?
Absolutely. So, you know, you don't necessarily need to be working with the really powerful plants that cause hallucinations. Here are some plants that are just here off the top of my head that increase your psychic capabilities. Lemongrass. Using plain lemongrass that you can find in a grocery store or in an Asian market, and making a tea out of lemongrass. Lemongrass is a big one. Vanilla. Again, using vanilla in a drink or in your food. Peppermint, taking the leaves, peppermint leaves, and crushing them, placing it on your third eye is common in some parts of the world. Jasmine, they say if you really want to increase your psychic abilities that you should plant a jasmine plant outside your bedroom, and you should leave the window open at night. Anise, another really simple thing that we use in our, you know, Christmas cooking and other things, that is supposed to increase clairvoyance. Bay leaf, we were told that bay leaf helps you with psychic visions and with claircognizance. That was one of the big ones. So bay leaf, you can drop a single Turkish bay leaf in your soup, for instance, or if you're making chicken, you can just use it in your food, you know, put a bay leaf in with the stock that comes out of the chicken and baste your chicken with that. Cinnamon is the big one. Cinnamon sticks, you know, you can grind cinnamon and you can put it in whatever, on your food, in your drink, on oatmeal, for heaven's sake. But cinnamon is really supposed to help with your psychic abilities. Same thing with sage. You know, sage is used as much by the Native Americans here in the North, and they'll burn a bundle of the dried sage, white sage, and they'll, you know, fan it over your body. Shamans will cleanse people with the sage, but also eating sage, smoking sage is that to open up the third eye and heighten your psychic abilities. Frankincense, it's another really powerful plant that has so many healing abilities for the physical body, but also for our psychic self. So those are just a few, but we do talk about these things in this program. And I should also mention that we've written a book that contains about 300 or more than 300 herbal remedies, and wow. Many of them are the you know, psychic things or the spiritual power of the plant, which is really fascinating.
That sounds great, Shannon. When will that book be available?
Well, it's actually going to print in the morning, and I'll get a date here soon. But if people are interested, they can just shoot me an email on our contact page, shannoncrim.com.
Okay.
This is actually going to be offered as a master program. So you would get, I think it's going to be 5 DVDs with 29 episodes of about a half hour each. And you can watch us going into the field with one or more ethnobotanists or shamans on that particular episode in some region in the Americas. And then you can just flip open to your book and look at, okay, where does this grow? Where can I get it? Can I get it here? Or do I have to order it from out of the country? And how do I use it? You know, a lot of these herbal books that I've come across now don't tell you how to use it. They'll just say, like, oh, it's used in a tea. Okay, how is it used in a tea? I don't want to be, you know, just kind of figuring out, am I using too much of certain herbs is not a good thing. It can be the difference between relieving a migraine and throwing up for 3 days. And so we're giving really, really specific recipes in this book, which is really helpful. But as I mentioned, we do cover, okay, this one is for, you know, heightened psychic abilities, or this one is used for, you know, opening yourself up to other dimensions. And you'll be really surprised by how many of these you just have right in your home in your own cupboard.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Shannon, about consciousness, because in effect, what we're confirming here is that these plants, the plant kingdom is conscious. We talked about the fact that a plant can react to a painful experience that another plant is experiencing. So they're interconnected. They are conscious. Mm-hmm. They do have feelings, literally. And I feel strongly that we just don't respect our planet enough. We don't respect our planet's consciousness, or even generally most people fail to consider that our planet is conscious. Now, I was reading the theory that our planet and the planets are in actual fact far more evolved in their consciousness than human beings. And I found that to be a very interesting and thought-provoking concept. What do these indigenous people, these shamans, these healers believe when it comes to matters like consciousness and the consciousness of the planet and of nature, etc.?
Well, there was so much said about this. You'll find that part of the program really fascinating. But the idea is that the plants are our teachers. Most of these people, even the standard Western ethnobotanists that we spoke with, and we did speak with a number of them as well, they just believe that the plant is the teacher. In many of these cultures, with their languages that we might not know, even some of these Maya languages, for instance, you know, the word for the plants, plant kingdom, for instance, will translate to teacher or mother or grandmother. And that in itself says something, right? That we're somehow lesser than or should be humble in the face of these plants. There's also this whole idea of the plants calling us, trying to awaken our consciousness. Let me give you examples of this. This is, to me, this is the most fascinating part. So chocolate comes from the cacao plant, the Aroma cacao. And it's something that a lot of people are addicted to today, right? Like, it's more and more people are going to clinics now with problems with obesity, and they're saying, oh, chocolate's my hang up, chocolate's what I'm addicted to, and people, you know, wearing t-shirts say I'm a chocoholic and all of this. So we already know that cacao itself has some exceptional health benefits. It's stimulant, it's a diuretic, it's a subterfuge, or it lowers our fevers. It's an aphrodisiac, it's a hypotensive, meaning that it lowers our blood pressure. It's good for anemia and mental fatigue. Well, in Mesoamerican times, it was also used for confidence, for treating low self-esteem, fear, timidity. It was also used in the form of making drinking cacao and pouring it, and was used for divination. It was used to connect with the gods, and they would actually lead the cacao pots. They would pour the liquid drink, which they didn't make with milk and sugar. They would make it with the bitter cacao and water, and they would then lead what they would see in this cacao. But it was a connection with the divine. So I'm thinking, okay, today in a time when more than 60% of our population no longer has, let's say, a religion or believes in something higher than themselves, isn't there probably a desire to connect with something greater than ourselves? And is that why so many people are addicted to chocolate today? Same thing with tobacco. Tobacco has, throughout the centuries, been used to get us in touch with our spiritual selves. It's one of those plans to enhance our psychic selves, to get us in touch with the divine. It's also, in America, it's the single biggest plant of protection. And as North, Central, South America, they use their various forms of tobacco for protection. It's also used when someone is fearful or nervous. And you think about, let's say someone who engages in sexual activity through which they have shame, or it's like, oh, it's not the right partner for me, and they're smoking like crazy after. That smoking cigarette is what many of the shamans do to cleanse the body. If you've had interactions with someone that's not appropriate for you, so they'll smoke a cigarette and they'll blow the smoke over your body. Is that somehow connected? This idea of, we don't take anything as sacred anymore. In general, Western society, tobacco is what's used for offering. It's used as protection. They sprinkle it still, many Native peoples, in the corners of their home and outside their home. And, is that why so many of us are addicted to smoking? Marijuana, of course, has medicinal properties, but there was a time when it was just used by the shamans, and it was used for psychic gifts. It was believed to increase awareness and promote enlightenment. And now it's like, okay, in this time when we're numbing all this food and sex and alcohol and trash TV and all of that, it would make sense that awareness and enlightenment is something that we seek. The ancient Greeks used marijuana. They used it in vapor steam baths because it would cause a connection between heaven and the earth plane and make people feel awakened and this sort of thing. So I think that the plants are calling us, and certain plants in particular. And I think if we want to learn where we are collectively as a people, we can look at what are the plants that we are abusing right now, and look at that as a, hey, maybe this is where we need to start by getting to the plant's original gift, its original offering to us.
I think that people forget the principle of balance as well, Shannon, that, chocolate is good for us, but if we're binging on it, it's not going to be good for us. A little red wine is good for us, but if we're drinking two bottles in the evening, it's not good. So we forget the principle that anything in excess becomes, anything good in excess becomes bad, it becomes a problem.
That's right. Absolutely. And then what do? Then it's blaming that damn cigarette or being angry at the chocolate. I just can't put that stuff down. I hate it. And the indigenous people, for instance, would say, okay, you're giving bad energy then to that whole class of plants. The entire plant species can hear you and feel you. It goes that far to many of these people. And so it's just a really interesting thing. Let's say Native Americans, they believe that everything is connected. And if you're wishing ill on one particular thing, let's say a weed, we found a lot of these plants that are viewed as highly medicinal in South America, for instance. In Hawaii, I looked at it as a noxious weed. And people are killing it and spraying pesticides on it. And it's just really fascinating to me that they keep speaking in that way. But the idea is that all plants are to be revered. All life is to be. Every rock has spirit. It's a big thing when I lived in Scandinavia. You know, they're really huge on this, but every rock has a soul, every plant has a soul, every tree has a soul. And collectively, they also have an energetic. So there are gentle plants, there are nurturing rocks, there are some rocks that are for, more sharp emotions or that are harder. And of course, those are rocks that are more flinty, that are more jagged. So these are just things that we've forgotten, but I think there's going to be a great remembrance soon. I think there has to be.
For sure. We've lost so much knowledge, Shannon. We think that because we're moving forward in terms of linear time, that we're evolving, that our knowledge is always increasing. So I have a slightly different view on evolution, which is I feel it's more of a jagged line than a straight line. I don't believe mm-hmm. that we're constantly getting better because I feel that we've lost a lot of knowledge. What's your view?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think that we have to remember, and I'm so glad that so many people are interested in these forgotten ways and in these forgotten teachings. You know, there are all of these prophecies the world over of people saying that people will come back to these teachings, or, you know, the men and women from the Eagle Land, North America, will again fly with the people from the land of the Condor or South America, and these teachings will come back to heal all, but there has to be a remembrance. And I really do think that we are remembering now in the Maya book, the Popol Vuh, which is almost like their Bible. It's their sacred book for the Maya. And in the Popol Vuh, it says that when we came here, the gods deliberately shrouded our eyes. They put a fog before our eyes. And I really think in this particular time when so many people are drawn to these teachings, and they are. I've led retreats now for 17 years, and I could say the amount of people who are interested in this sort of thing is just growing exponentially. You know, I think that now is the time of peeling back that curtain, that shroud that we have before our eyes. And I think we have to, what we're doing to ourselves and to the planet, I think now is the time that we need to remember. So what do you do? How can you remember these things? Well, for one thing, you can find a teacher. You can do things like go to a retreat that features different speakers from the cultures and the teachings that you're interested in. You can find books. First of all, trust your gut. What are you guided to? If you're having this strange thought like, oh my gosh, I really want to try acupuncture or whatever, and it makes no sense why you'd want to do that, that's your own intuition guiding you. You know what you need. Same thing with food. If you're craving a specific food, and we heard this over and over again when we were making this series, if you're craving a food, go for it. Especially if you're craving it when you're in a good mental state. Ayurveda, the Indian medicinal system, says what you crave when you're imbalanced is the exact opposite of what you should have. What you're craving when you're in a good place mentally is good for you. And so an example of this would be like, if I'm imbalanced, if I'm on fire, that's my body type, the fire body type, pitta, I will crave crunchy, salty, sharp things. Well, that just puts me more imbalanced. So what I should have is the exact opposite. I should go for cooling foods like yogurt and cucumbers, for instance. But when we're in a good place, we usually don't crave bad things, right? So letting your body guide you. We were told by this granny healer, Miss Dorcas, on the Caribbean island of Roatan. She was telling us the story of this girl who was dying of cancer, and all she wanted was to eat sea grapes. She just could say, no, can't drink anything, can't eat anything, I just want these sea grapes. Eventually her doctor says, keep giving to her. She's going to be gone in a couple of weeks anyway, let her eat the sea grapes. Well, it turns out that those sea grapes have so many medicinal properties, and you know, she's still alive today. She's gone on to have a big family and is very well, and she didn't take any sort of cancer treatment, just those grapes. And she believes the grapes are what cured her. So this, remembrance of these things, I think, just trusting our own intuition and allowing the plants to allow themselves to be remembered. And for us to call upon them and listen if they're calling us. If you're on a walk and you do happen to see a tree that's suffering, doesn't mean you need to cut the tree down, but figure out, okay, what is the medicine of that tree? And maybe you can get a tea made out of its leaves, or maybe you can take a bath in a bark bath, some of the bark after you've got permission, whatever. But I think that it's really, really important that we just keep our eyes open and start practicing awareness. But it really starts with really reverence for ourselves, honoring ourselves, thinking that we're worthy of healing and of a good life, and then really honoring that plant. Because if we're living in a state of reverence and love and respect for ourselves, that'll automatically change the way that we view the world outside of ourselves, and including the plant.
Well, Shannon, it's been wonderful to have you with us. I'm very excited about the series. We do have a lady in the chat room asking for a reminder about the name of the book, and also if you could tell us when it will be available for order, because she wanted to order it for as Christmas presents for friends.
Fantastic. So it is called Secrets of the Ancient Healers, Medicines of the Americas. And so the website is not live yet, but it's secretsoftheancienthealers.com. For now, please just go to my website, Shannon Kring, SHANNONKRING.com, and you can just fill out the little contact form there, or my email address is listed there, and just say you'd like to be on the advanced mailing. We will have it available to people who show a great interest. We'll make it available before it's available to everyone else. It's going to be available in November. And it's DVD, or you can do it online. And we're going to be offering just great resources with that. Even if you buy the book in the DVD, you'll still have access to the internet teaching for this. And we're going to have bonus videos and all sorts of recipes for foods and so much more, like Skype with ethnobotanists, etc. But if you're interested in, let's say, native ways or shamanic teachings, in addition to being interested in herbs, or, you know, what can I take because I've really got arthritis? What can I be eating? This is the program for you. Are we there?
Steve, unmute.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. It was.
I thought maybe I was talking in the air.
Shannon, I was rambling away, saying, "Well, I want to get on the advanced mailing list as well." But thank you for joining us, Shannon. It's been really exciting, and want to wish you all the best with that project.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure, Shannon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
You're welcome, Stephen.
I was just going to make a couple of announcements, Steve, and was going to toss out Shannon's website one more time, shannonkring.com, and I believe she mentioned she's going to have a book out, and the future website for that is secretsoftheancients.com. Be sure to check that out. Also, be sure to check out the next hour of our show. We have another hour for you to get your free call-in reading with our gifted psychics, and we're going to announce the call-in number in a bit, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you missed last week's show, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share the link. Also, visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from the paranormal, from reincarnation to psychic development and everything in between. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic on that site has a detailed profile so that you can find out more about her or him. And it helps so you can make the right choice. It's an honor working with Doug in Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. We like to keep the standards very high. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, by all means, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Well, Steve, I cannot wait to hear the banter on this one, man. Plants. South
yes.
America. It had it all the stuff that I enjoy hearing about and learning about.
Well, let's ask you first of all, I mean, you lived in Latin America. What were your experiences of healthcare and healing in Latin America? Did you hear people speaking about herbs and plants?
Oh, yeah. You can't. I mean, you know, the first thing about Lima, Peru, is that it's a huge urban environment, and yet it's the most organic urban environment I've ever been in. And I don't necessarily say that in a good way, because I'll tell you what, when healing, with as far as healing and healthcare is concerned, you know, the orthodox healthcare is not really, I don't mean to denigrate Peruvian physicians, because they make very fine physicians and surgeons, but there are a lot of social issues, labor issues related to medicine. So, you know, I wouldn't want to get a liver transplant in Lima. Let's just say that. However, the sheer multiplicity of plants and natural things to heal you that you could see on the markets, I mean, it's impossible to describe in words. Impossible. And they made foods and ice creams out of fruits that you don't even have any basis of comparison for. You can't call it a citrus because it doesn't really fit into the citrus category. You can't call it anything like an apple. You know, so there are fruits and plants there that just defy categories. Really interesting.
It is. And again, it makes you wonder what remedies and solutions are out there, given that there are areas of the world, particularly areas of Brazil, areas in the rainforest that we've never reached. We don't know what's there. So it's extremely interesting. And Maureen, what did you think of the interview, Maureen?
I found it very, I loved it. In fact, there was a couple of things I really, she made a remark about orchids. And it's funny because, I don't know what it is about me and orchids, but I have one right here and it's died. Poor thing, it's died. But, you know, my mother, and I have, well, yeah, actually I was going out of town quite a bit when she brought that up, and it kind of made some sense. But my mother will have the same orchid. This happened years ago, to a previous orchid, and I bought for her, and I thought it'd be good for her healing. Plus, I think they're beautiful. Everybody loves orchids. And when hers looked like it had died, instead of her not throwing it away, she just left, you know, just left it alone, kept it going. And it was amazing. Within 6 months, it became like it was a brand new orchid. For me, that doesn't work so well, I noticed. And another thing I was recalling when she was talking about, well, plants, you know, how important they are in general, and how this has been a long time, you know, an old tradition. What would you guys call it? An old, you know, way of, I mean, that's all people would do back in the day.
Wives' tale.
Well, they were burned at the stake. The people that were doing that, they were called witches. You know, they were actually herbalists, and they would, you know, have these wonderful remedies. And I feel that a lot of times they were named witches, and bless their hearts. But also, I recall it was years ago, I did a show on crystal, Marcel Vogel crystals. And he was the guy from IBM, 25 years with IBM. And his first work, though, before crystals, was doing research on plants. I know a lot of people don't know this, but what he found in exposing plants, and he did it real scientifically on a polygraph, and how they were responding, and the emotional stimulation, then they were responding more to the emotional stimulation than to the physical experience. So that's on a whole, you know, another scientific way, but it also had a lot to do with reflecting the emotional states coming from the environment and also from the people who are emotionally linked to the plant or people around it, which I feel makes much sense to me where I'm sitting. And, you know, it's about the intent or the intention and stuff like that. And I just loved when I found out about this work of his. Do you know who I'm talking about, Marcel Vogel? Steve?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
And so it was interesting because then, you know, he ended up going through the crystals. But like I said, he was such a mainstream, you know, 25 years of whatever, 23 years with IBM. And but he found that people that he felt that it would be very wise for people that weren't as conscious, higher consciousness or in tune, that they shouldn't be messing with plants. Not to receive, I'm not talking about receiving healing from them, but actually interacting with them with what we're talking about now, unless they were pretty stable, which is interesting. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm not stable. I'm just saying. He just said people that would, like, he stressed that experiments with plants can be extremely dangerous to those who do not have the ability to properly alter their states of consciousness. So if you don't have focused thought, that's how intense these plants are. You know, plants are plants. Because if it would have tremendous effect on the body of a person in a higher mental state if they let their emotions interfere.
How interesting.
Interesting, yes. Pretty
very
powerful.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So there you have it.
I'm intrigued now. I can't wait to learn more about plants. I was excited because I had a book delivered today. And it's a book written by Albert Benjamin. He wrote all of the Church of Light material. So he's in spirit now, but really interesting man. And basically this book called Stellar Dietetics is all about understanding the astrological roadmap. So looking at your astrology to consider where there's discord, where there are some challenges and where you require antidotes. So he lists all of that information, and then he details as well the different foods that contain the elements required. So for example, it explains that if you want more alkalinity, then the best foods at the top of the list here are olives and then dried lima beans. And then if you want acid-forming elements, oysters and egg yolk. So it's really interesting because it means, in effect, you can take your natal astrology and see where there are some challenges, which ultimately do become challenges in the physical body, because we know that the physical body will perish. But you can identify the antidotes, the planetary antidotes, and then you can check which foods
that's
resonate
great
to those planets. You can say, okay, I need to eat olives. I need to eat egg yolks. How interesting is that?
You know what? That's like fusing everything excellent and brilliant together, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, the man was a genius, a real genius. So here you go. Best source of vitamin B1, he said, was whole wheat bread and then rice polishings, wheat germs. I think that we can overcome so many problems by understanding ourselves and then choosing the right solutions.
Well, you know, over in England, where you're part of the woods, a very dear neighbor friend of mine, she moved to England for over a year. She came back and I go, my God, you look so great. And she says, it's because the food doesn't have all the preservatives, even in the market, you know, you buy. Is that true, Steve? And she looks so good. She goes, I didn't do anything. I've just been eating the food there. It's different.
The food
different.
In the U.S. is pretty terrible, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes, and I, you know, it was amazing because I could tell. She goes, no, I've just lived. She was living in London, and honestly, she looked great because we do have different type of chemicals, artificials, and whatever in our markets, opposed to what London or apparently what. Does that make sense? I thought to
it
myself.
It does, Maureen. I wrote to my senator saying that I object to the fact that GMO foods are available in the US and they're not labeled.
Mm.
And he wrote back saying, well, there hasn't been enough research yet. Right, so I responded saying, yeah, exactly. That's why it should be labeled, because there hasn't been enough research. We don't know what the consequences are. And I just thought the response was ridiculous. Well, it shouldn't be labeled because there hasn't been enough research yet on the effects of GMO foods. And I was thinking, well, that's exactly why it should be labeled, because I should be able to. In effect, I don't have the option in the United States.
Right.
I don't get to choose what I'm consuming because the information's not available. So I can't look at the contents of a product and determine what's in it. So my choice is removed. And I thought, you know, this is the US's country of
obesity.
Independence. Well, but it's country of the individual's rights, the freedom of speech, you know, these things that the founding fathers embedded in the Constitution for us. But I don't have the freedom to decide what I eat.
Well, all I know is her body never looked better. And that's proof enough for me. And then I wanted to ask you about that for years, about that, because I thought about that. I go, what a bummer for us.
Well, it's just the market principles at work there. I mean, for example, if I have a hot dog stand and I have a proprietary sauce on my hot dogs, I'm not forced by U.S. law to disclose the ingredients of my proprietary sauce. Now, the corporations, I'm no corporate lawyer, but I'm guessing that they have certain of the legal protections of an individual. They can say, oh, we don't have to tell you about this bovine somatostatin in your porridge because it's proprietary. It's part of our recipe. You know, I mean, maybe that's the logic that they can use. I mean, who knows what's happening in court? Justice is happening, not necessarily morality or good things. Well,
but I'm talking about the market. She's just saying just because she just shopped at the markets there. You know, their markets are just, right. They don't carry the same crap.
No, I think food outside of the U.S. is a little bit better. I have to admit, our food quality is kind of bad because we love Franken food now. You know, like our grandparents would probably be offended by the stuff that we are given to eat.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, we remember when the big thing was, oh my God, the TV dinners in the 60s. That was, you know, that was full of, but you know, that was a really great turning point for the Americans. Yeah. Boy, you know, we were all that and then some.
But then there's the notion that this stuff, that it actually makes us less social because, you know, instead of all of us getting together and roasting a steer or what have you, you know, we have all of our frozen food. You know, we can hole away in our isolated nest for, you know, God knows, well, in theory, months, you know, however your provisions last.
You know, I used to make salads with different flours. Are you guys, are you familiar with that?
I've seen it. It's very avant-garde.
Yeah, very avant-garde. This was back not too long, in the 90s. And I remember it was real new to me. I mean, my friend, actually, who lives in England, my best girlfriend, she and I, you could only pick certain ones, but it was beautiful, and they're flowers. But it was quite beautiful. We were in the restaurant business at the time, too. So, you know, I don't know. Flowers are plants and everything else, but... have you ever had anything like that, either of you two? A salad, you know, with like flowers and you eat them?
I have. In fancy restaurants.
Yeah. And plus it's beauty. But not with artificial colors or anything like that. There were particular ones. But just the idea of, you know, putting flowers into your body, to me, well, you know, you can't go wrong there. But...
No, it gives a nice texture to it, I thought.
Well, and plus, you know, I do feel that we have gotten away. But more and more time, a lot of people are talking about aloe vera. That's been the most, you know, easygoing one. It's almost like the first, everybody knows that's like mainstream. It's a very acceptable, with no woo-woo with it, right? For years, aloe vera has been safe for the children. I mean, I'm talking about here out where we were raised in America, you know, whatever Americans that we are. Aloe vera, but you don't hear about the other ones so much. And now people are coming up and talking about it. And that's, thank you, Steve, for doing the show because of it, you know.
I thought it was an interesting subject. I don't think we've spoken about plants much before, have we?
No. It was great.
I think the idea of plants retaining consciousness is just marvelous. You know, I like that idea. You know, who knows the secrets that they could disclose to us? Maybe one day the whole entire notion of food will be moot because we'll photosynthesize what we need. You know, given due to our study from botanicals. I mean, who knows? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, we use them for, you know, we use it for our facials, vegetables and everything else on whatever in our refrigerator
does. How nice would it be if you could just photosynthesize, for example, your coffee beverage, you know what I'm saying? And maybe just drip it out of your fingertips and boom, you're good.
With real plant interacted in there. But, you know, I do feel plants, honestly, I have not had – there's certain plants that I'm emotionally attached to because they came from somewhere that I know, like my father, or they came from the Lexus dealer that gave you a plant whenever you got it serviced, because that's how they treat you. Uh-huh. And I carry these plants, and then it's interesting how I just have this – and then they die. Or I'm having issues, and they die. It's my stuff.
I get the same result. I want to pass out the phone number real fast, Maureen, because it's time now. That number is 724-444-4851. And I actually have a caller from New Jersey right now. Hello, New Jersey. How are you? Good evening, New Jersey. How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. How may I help you this evening?
Okay, hi. I just have a quick question.
Okay.
Do you see me getting a transfer? My name is Deborah.
Okay. You want to know if you're going to get a transfer?
Yeah, I've been waiting for it since July.
Okay. One second here. I tell you what, I'm not seeing that transfer really taking shape anytime soon, as much as I hate to say it. Now, you know, I could be wrong on this one. I just mm-hmm. see low energies for it. Now, again, there's a time stamp to these things. There's a shelf life on these readings. So these are normally short-term types of situations. So, you know, all I can say to you is that over the next maybe month or two, the energy of a transfer is kind of low. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't get my hopes up for it. However, if it happens, then you'll be pleasantly surprised. So, I mean, I would just, I would prepare on the more pessimistic end just to be on the safe side and still retain hope for that transfer because, you know, I definitely would not give up on that hope. I just don't think it'll happen quite as quickly as you want it to. Okay. But it'll eventually happen. Okay. Well, you hang in there, all right? I wish you all the best there.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yes, ma'am. You Bye-bye. Too. We have a caller now from Virginia for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, Virginia.
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Hello. Fine. How are you? May I have your name, please?
Yes, Lakevia.
Hi, and what can I help you with?
Well, I have a question regarding my marriage. I'm trying to see where is it leading.
Okay, because of the time, I don't have a lot of time. Could you, so I can help you better, more direct, like...
Oh, yeah, we're separated and we're going through some things. I'm trying to see, like, what's ahead.
Got it. You're wondering, okay, so all this stuff has already taken place and you want to... Okay, I understand. Wondering where in the direction, and I feel that you want the direction to move into a positive, or
right.
the journey to end to the positive. You know... I'm seeing some really great things here going on, and what I mean by that is what I'm seeing here is that this separation or call it a break or whatever you're doing is actually very positive. And now, of course, you know, it's like I'm almost like you can take a negative and turn it into a positive. I'm seeing you looking really well, and also by means of. How your husband is seeing you in a very good light. I absolutely see the family coming back together, family honor. I feel that stagnation is going to be very soon over, and there's going to be where things are stagnating, I see movement. And I'm seeing this actually coming up around the holidays. I see the family all together, and it's family honor. I feel it's going to work out very – I see very positive. I see it to be very positive. Absolutely. And I absolutely positive. And I feel there's going to be a lot of stuff in the past let go of, regret, some things that, you know, maybe have not been resolved, but things that are okay and able to move forward or new beginning. It looks very positive for you and your marriage and the whole family.
That's very what I want. Much. So I want to just move forward to the future, let the past go, and just hopefully we can come back together on a common ground for our family and move forward.
I see this, and it's very good, and I feel it was necessary, most likely, when you decided to do what you're doing now, because it's going to be a positive. And I see it coming up soon, looking, reconnecting, and very, very good, very deserving. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. You can get a hold of Maureen at psychicaccess.com. And now we have a caller from Florida for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Florida?
Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary Beth. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Mary Beth. Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Well, I have a friend that I've known for 27 years. He's supposed to be moving back to Florida from New Hampshire. And I'm wondering, is this happening? And when is it happening? Would be great.
So will your friend move? And when will your friend move? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's have a look. Will your friend move? To be honest with you, I'm getting the answer that your friend won't move to Florida as planned.
Really?
That's what I feel. And when I lay out the cards, the tarot cards, and ask them the same question, they say that your friend won't move. I feel as though right now your friend is quite confused about what they should do. I don't feel that the feelings are in any way about you. I don't feel that the choice it would be about you. But I feel that you should keep a close eye on the situation and keep talking as the situation unfolds. Because as I said, the cards are saying that no, your friend won't move to Florida.
Okay. Okay, that's what I needed to know.
All right, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye now.
Thank you very much. If you would like to book a session with Steve, visit him at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from New Jersey. Hello, New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi, how may I help you this evening?
Yes. I was calling because I was dating a guy. He lives in another state. I was wondering if you see us reconnecting.
Okay.
Reconnecting.
Yes, ma'am. Let's see. Will they reconnect?
Yes. Will they? And not my ex-husband.
No.
Okay.
All right. Well, I do see that you guys will reconnect. Absolutely. And it's going to be quite nice. The emotion, the affection actually seems to be fixed, which is kind of good. I'm liking that because I'm not getting the impression that his or your interest is going to wobble here. I'm really getting a sense of fixed emotion. So there's a certain longevity to your dealings with this gentleman because of that, I would say. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to text or call you, you know, blow your inbox up or ring your phone off the hook or anything like that. You know, for whatever reason, he might, you know, give you the silent treatment for brief periods of time. Who knows? Maybe he gets busy or what have you. You know, it might seem, in other words, as if his affection isn't where it ought to be, but that's probably just an illusion. And it's probably a bluff or something of that nature. You know, sometimes we men like to bluff so that we don't appear vulnerable or weak or what have you. But I can, what I see pretty clearly is that the beginnings of a lot of fun are coming up for you. So that's what you got on the horizon. Seems quite
okay,
positive to me. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, because I haven't heard from him in like about a week or two now.
Oh, yeah. Well, a week or two seems like a long time. And it, you know, especially if you're accustomed to hearing from him, you know, every day or what have you. Don't worry. I think the routine of your friendship and your relationship with him, the routine of that is going to bring him back in, so to speak, and get him to, you know, communication will get back to where it needs to be. Definitely. I would not worry about that. It might be, I mean, who knows? It might be a couple more weeks where you have to wait. But for sure, you know, when you guys do talk, I think there'll be, what's the phrase, some splaining to do, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so there'll probably be some makeup, some makeup sweetness that goes along with that as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. This is not like none of the people that I'm dating right now. Like right now, I'm just dating, you know, dating around.
Now, you asked me specifically about, you know, this guy, and so this is what I got for the gentleman who's out of state.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. We wish you the best. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. We have a caller now from Georgia for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, Georgia, state of. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. And may I have your name, may I have your name,
Miss
please?
Tiffany. Miss Tiffany.
Hi. And what can I help you with?
I have a question. I would like to know when I can reconnect with my friend, Jerron. I would like to know once we have a friendship, a good friendship for a minute, I want to know what it turned into a relationship and how would a relationship turn out would be good, a good relationship or what?
Okay, I want to be able to focus because of the time. I don't have a lot of time on the readings here on the show. So you're asking me if you are going to reconnect or you're going to reconnect and having a more serious
reconnect with my old friend.
Okay, old friend. And also will become more
a friendship. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, got it. More than a going further than a friendship. Is that what you're asking? When you
yeah, friendship. Know how a friendship turned into a relationship like that. You know
right,
what I mean?
So that's okay. Got it. Okay. So how long? Oh well. I see. You know, it's interesting. I presently see a reconnection going on right now, or real presently. I mean, soon if it's not already happening. How long has it been since? Pardon me.
And now it hasn't happened yet. That's what I want to know.
Right, but I'm seeing it like it's like right on top, and it's like just hovering over you. Are you? It does appear like there's maybe it looks like he may have been not feeling well. There's some reason why. And I don't know how long you've been detached from this, or you know how long it's been since you've seen. But
it's been a minute now. It's been a minute.
It's been a what?
I saw him last year.
So it's been a year.
Yeah, maybe a year. Yeah. Uh huh.
Okay. Well, it looks like. Like I said, there's something surrounding you right now, and unless there's somebody else, and I see a reconnection with somebody, but it's really soon. So I'm wondering, and it really looks like to me that you've been really patient, waiting, but having a lot of patience, and going about your business. But also, you're feeling like this is not going to happen. I can see that you're just thinking this is just never going to come about. And
yeah, because it's been so long, that's why it's been so long.
No, yeah, but you see, you haven't received any. I always say no news is good news. It's like, I don't know. I do see you reconnecting, and then I see a disconnecting with somebody. I don't know if it's the same person, but I absolutely see you really soon. Like, I'm talking about in the next 10 days, unless there's somebody else in your life that you would reconnect with.
I do have an ex boyfriend, and then I'm working out with him, and then work out.
Okay. Well, I see. It's very positive.
I broke my boyfriend last year in August. Then the other guy, I was just asking you about. I want to know where I'll come back and contact with him.
Well, whatever I'm seeing, I'm not sure who this. I'm seeing a reconnection very soon with somebody, and it looks very positive. And what I'm seeing is that you don't feel that this is going to happen.
My ex is negative. He's no good. So
okay, then we're not going to go on him being it, because it's a very positive thing, is what I'm seeing, and it's coming from a place where if you feel like it's never going to happen, so that would. For me, give me the feeling, or I'm going to be encouraging you.
Yeah, it's been mixed feelings, like it never going to happen. It's been so long, that's why, yeah. I know
right.
What you're talking about.
But you've been maybe putting out some energy out there, and just it's easy for me to say, but sometimes when you're focusing on that person a little bit more, it's interesting how suddenly, you know, there's a connection, they come about. I just see it to be very positive, and also... And I see by January, there's going to be a very hard-earned victory with this situation. I feel that it may be, you'll come together and then it may be kind of difficult, but it's so soon. It's so soon. It's not like I see this happening in 6 months. I see it happening very soon. And then going about up into the first of the year and things may be kind of difficult, but having a hard-earned victory is what I see. It's very positive. And then again, it will be very kind of there will be some commotion going on a little bit, but just because, not between you two, but because of your individual stuff going on in your lives. But I do see, and maybe you've been feeling him coming on, use your own intuition. I'm always telling people to listen to their inner voice. Maybe you've been feeling that he may be, you know, that feeling you get when you're connected to somebody, you know, that you're feeling. Have you been, you know, listen to that. But I see something very great, and it's like it's already surrounding you. So it's very soon, and I'm seeing very soon, 10 days into 2 weeks. It's just surrounding you. It's very good.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like to consult with Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Massachusetts for Steve.
Thank you. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Yeah, this is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. How can we help?
Yeah, I hired a lawyer in the Caribbean to make some strides for me towards my inheritance. Do you see him getting me anywhere?
Let me see. I do, absolutely. I've pulled some cards for you, and they're really good cards, actually, Stephen. We've got the Ace of Wands, which is the beginning of enterprise, of distinction, and so where business matters are concerned, it's a good sign. We've also got the Wheel of Fortune upright, which indicates, you know, a spin of that Wheel of Fortune in your favor. And then we've got a couple of other cards that say, you know, sit tight. I do feel that this will be in your favor. I'm drawn to the month of March, actually, so I feel it takes a few months to sort itself out, but I do feel it will be favorable, and as I said, I'm drawn to March. Okay?
And also, there is some in England. Will I get the one in England also?
I can't take two questions, Stephen. We're only taking one question per caller because we're limited on time. But as I said, I do feel good about that first question.
Yeah, say hi to Maureen and the others, please.
Will do. Thank you, Stephen. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, Steve. If you would like a reading from Steve, please call him at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from New York. Hello, New York. Hello, New York.
Hello, yeah.
How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. My name is Roy. I'm from the Bronx.
Roy from the Bronx. Thank you very much for calling and welcome. How may I help you?
Yeah, thanks a lot. I think I called like a few months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling in reference to my mom. You see, like, I live on my own. I'm in my 40s and she's on her own. And but I help her out and everything. But she feels like, the problem is, she feels like she's getting violated, and that's my question. She feels like her landlord is coming in the house and robbing her when she's not home. And now she went as far as getting ADT installed and everything, and she still feels very unsettled.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm just trying to get a little insight.
I'll tell you what I'm picking up on here, Roy, is that this whole situation is going to wind up involving the law. And I'm getting that from Trump number 8, which shows sort of like the next step in this entire process. Trump number 8 is very, very often associated with concepts of justice in the courts. So, you know, I definitely encourage your mother to continue beefing up the security. She will get evidence of what she suspects, and this will help her in court proceedings. I'm seeing here that this isn't just, you know, little old lady paranoia in the city going on. She has a reason to suspect what she suspects. So you're right.
Yeah,
she's right.
She still has her wits. I don't think she's like massively paranoid. Yeah,
no,
I agree with you.
From what I'm seeing here, this is definitely not paranoia. This is justified concern. And in fact, based upon what I'm picking up here, Roy, I think that what's going to happen next is that indeed she is going to get the law involved. I mean, Trump number 8 tells me that the authorities are going to they're going to get involved on this. And also I see the sort of release of your mother's fear. I also see the relief that being relieved as well. I'm sorry, Roy, I didn't catch that one.
Hello, Roy.
Roy.
Yeah, hey, hello.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there, Roy. What did you say, buddy?
No, I'm still here. My dog was barking a little.
Okay. Well, you know, I wouldn't worry so much about things, Roy, because I see that everything is going to follow its due course. So, in other words, yeah, she should be worried, but also I see that she's going to be able to protect herself as well, and that she'll be able to get justice, that whatever is bothering her will be arrested, stopped, brought to the courts, okay?
Okay. I appreciate that. You know, I really hope that somebody's not going out in there, you know, because that just wouldn't be cool, you know, and I don't want to, like, overreact either.
No, you know, I wouldn't do that.
But I think
let
that's
the best
thing to do,
this,
like
you know,
you said, would be to get the law involved.
That's absolutely the wisest thing, and that's the way it's heading anyway, Roy. So we got a process going on here, and we're sort of like a roller coaster. Once you get seatbelted in, you know, it's not stopping till it's done. And where is it going to finish up at? In the courts, you know, so or the authority somehow. So your mom's going to get some relief on this issue, Roy, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for calling, and we wish you well in this and in all things, Roy.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have a caller now from South Dakota for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, South Dakota. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
May.
Hi, May. How are you?
I have kind of a, I'm kind of stressed here and worried. I'm really a helper person, and I was wondering if you see entities around me, because the other night, just as I was coming out of sleep, I heard this voice say, "You have a flat tire." And then, you know, I didn't think about it the next day. And when I got in and drove off, sure enough, I did. But what really is obsessing me, I had talked to, you know, I keep in contact with this lady, and she tells me every time she sees me that I have entities, not just around me, but attached to me. And so last night I had the most horrific dream. It was about my grandson, and he had died, and I woke up feeling just really, really bad. And so I'm wondering if that's happening to me again, or whether, I wasn't thinking about him. I wasn't thinking bad thoughts when I went to sleep, but yet it seemed so real. And
right.
So that's what was scaring me.
I'm following you. You know, this is, I see your grandson, you know, you said it was your grandson that you had this dream about, right? He looks like he's a very intuitive little gentleman.
Okay.
Are you really, really, I'm sure if you have other grandchildren, you're very connected with them, but this particular one that you dreamt about, is this somebody that really, that there's something about you two that's more so?
Well, he's my great-grandson.
He's your great-grandson. Is he the only great-grandson? The only great-grandchild?
Great-grandchild, yep.
Okay. Okay. You know, this is what I'm seeing, that you are carrying a big burden on your back about things. And I feel there's two different things going on here. As far as what you were talking about, this entity thing, I do feel that it wasn't a bad thing when you were not dreaming at the time you heard about the flat tire, right? It was something
I wasn't.
You were awake. But this dream, I feel that this has a lot to do with messages, of psychic messages that you have an ability, although your great grandson's in this, and the way I'm looking at this is there's a part of you, it's like you are part of the grandson. Your grandson, I don't see in any danger. I don't feel this is a dream about danger, even though it has to do with what you said, like, you know, the whole content. I feel this is about more like you're dying because you're carrying too much burden on your back, and it's coming from everywhere. You're carrying everybody's crap on your back. So it's almost like having your grandson in there and dying and seeing him die. It's almost like you're looking at, even though he's your grandson, you are like it's like symbolic of you being the great grandchild. I mean, the great grandchild, because, man, that's, first of all, your only great grandchild, and that's cool. And, but the strength involved, but also on the other hand, none of those stuff on your back belongs to you. I don't know why you're carrying so much burden for everybody else. Sometimes it's because you're just a natural caregiver, and sometimes it can be a little dysfunctional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I see, no, this dream is more about feeling, I see a sense of liberation, and the death is not so much about physical death. Uh-huh. I feel it's about you, and it's very symbolic, and there's like a definite psychic connection between you and your great-grandson. But the great-grandson, this dream, actually, the way looking at it is on a union perspective and archetypes and such like that. And I, like I said, May, I don't know if you can agree with this, but like I said, you are just carrying too much on your back, way too much. It doesn't belong to you. Does that make sense to you?
It totally does, yes.
And it's like almost like your grandson coming up into this dream, great-grandson coming up into this dream, mm-hmm. and then you losing him, or your dream was about the death of, right? The death, or the seeing it. This is almost like part of you needs to die off. That's how, you know, my interpretation is. But great-grandson, it's so symbolic because it's such a part of the generation, of your connection.
Yep.
So you can come back and liberate yourself and be free. It's almost like there's something very positive. I see this dream could be very helpful, but I wouldn't take it. I don't see it as being literally a dream about this is going to happen. That's how my view is, and I'm interpreting it this way.
Okay, so you didn't see entities that were bothering me or anything?
Not with the dream. No, not with the dream. And I feel the entities or energy you're getting are not bad.
Okay.
But I do feel they may be trying to help you of, like, you need to. I don't want to tell people.
Okay.
I'm encouraging you not to take on anybody else's crap on your back.
Okay.
It doesn't belong to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hope I helped you, May. I hope I helped you.
Yes,
okay.
Did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Sure. Thank you, May. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, May. And if you'd like to get a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Steve, you have a caller from Ohio.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling? Ohio, who's calling? Can you hear us, Ohio?
Hello.
Hi there. Who's calling?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How can we help?
I just wondered if you see anything changing in my life. I have just been in so much stress lately that just the abundance with my children. And do you see me getting to take a little vacation or just any enlightenment or something?
Let's have a look. I do, actually, Kathy. Your beautiful card that comes up in response to your question, it's the Empress card. And the Empress card is a feminine energy, which would be you, but it's a card that's very much about fertility. It's about things coming to fruition. So I do feel that you'll get a break. Do I feel that your family are going to sort themselves out and the pressure's going to be off? No, but I do feel that you will get a break. It feels in the fall time. I'm drawn to November. Okay.
So you just feel that I'm going to get a break. Things are going to mellow out for me, and the kids can start handling their stuff, and maybe I'll get to take a little vacation just to get away from it all.
I do. Yeah, I do. I feel in November, Kathy, and you deserve it, so I hope you have a good time.
Okay, God bless you, and thank you. I'm so thankful for your show.
You're welcome. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thanks, all. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much. I do believe I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, Ohio. Are you there? Hello. With whom am I speaking? Hello, anybody out there? Hola. Okay, I think we are waiting for calls now. So let's just go back to I'm talking about tonight's topic, Steve, the psychic plants. Quite a brilliant and innovative show topic, I might say. How did you come up with the idea of doing a show on the consciousness and psychism of plants? What inspired you there?
I was actually looking at some of the recommended videos on YouTube. You know how YouTube picks up what you've been watching and recommends things you might be interested in? And so I watched a number of video clips on plant experiments in which scientists were trying to identify how sensitive plants are. And then I was in contact with Shannon and asking her about her work, her latest projects. And she was telling me that she'd been in the Americas, that she traveled to 6 countries speaking to indigenous healers and learning about plants. And she mentioned how the plants often, or the healers say, that the plants call upon them. They call upon the healers, offering themselves in service for healing. And well, so I thought, well, that would be a good show.
It's a very interesting topic. You know, we might think that the academics haven't got their fingers into this particular pie, but of course they have. They call it the discipline of ethnobotany, which is actually kind of fascinating, but usually they apply it in the service of, for example, the pharmaceutical industry. They're very interested in the ways that folk groups, rural types of groupings and tribes or whatever, they're fascinated with the way that they use the natural plants, the way that they've evolved in a sort of a symbiotic relationship with these plants. And very interesting book to emerge out of the ethnobotany discipline is The Serpent and the Rainbow by Dr. Wade Davis. Fascinating book. I probably have lectured and sermonized about this book on this show before. That's how much I love it. So you couldn't have picked a better topic as far as I was concerned, Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, it's a really interesting subject. I think that we underestimate nature. I think that we overestimate our power or control in the world. I think that as a species, we're very arrogant.
We are. Look at the way we talk about nature. We talk about it as if it's a wrestling opponent that we've shouldered to the mat. You know what I mean? We conquer nature. We've mastered nature. So I mean, we've all heard the cliches and the verbiage that we've been fed regarding nature, and it's rather subordinate status to us as something that just offers us resources, you know, to be used with gleeful abandon. You know, so we now acknowledge that we have to redefine our relationship to the natural world. That's the way it seems to me. So I'm excited to see the gains that have been made recently in environmentalism. Don't really know what they are, but I can tell that there's a greater awareness of ecological issues now than when I was in my 20s, for instance. You know, there's a lot of animus directed towards the loggers in the Amazon. You know, we're all very scared about what might be happening in terms of, you know, what unknown species of plant are we destroying unwittingly.
They're destroying solutions we don't even know about yet.
Right. All right. That's something that sort of chills me to the bone, the idea that we're getting rid of something really, really valuable, you know, because it's just amazing the amount of diverse life that comes out of the Amazon. I mean, they have insects over there that are the size of Cocker Spaniel pups. I mean, and bigger than that. Such a mysterious place. There are sharks in the Amazon River, you know, all through it. You know, they get confused during storm. I mean, all sorts of crazy, weird, strange life in the Amazon. So, interesting show, though.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Is it your show next week?
It is, actually. We're going to be talking about a sort of like a romantic boot camp. We're going to have Heidi Goodrich on, and she's a relationship expert and also very in tune with her spirit. She's an athlete. A quite accomplished athlete, I might add. So she knows a thing or two about mental discipline. And so we're going to do a romance boot camp. What to do if your partner's unenthusiastic or lackluster and lukewarm, or what to do if your heart's desire doesn't even know you exist, or what to do if perhaps you've got a vampire, somebody who is just sort of getting fuel for his narcissism and ego. What if it's a harmful relationship? You know, so we're going to talk about how self-defense in the realm of relationship using psychic means, disciplining one's own mind in order to have influence over the partner's mind. So this is going to be something that those of us with relationship problems will greatly benefit from.
She's fascinating. Heidi Goodrich is absolutely incredible. I attended one of her workshops a couple of years, well, was it 2 years ago, maybe a little more? It may even be 3 years, time flies. It was the most impactful workshop I've ever attended. She really knows what she's talking about. She's very smart, and also she's a very, very interesting person.
Yeah.
Extremely interesting person.
I'm thinking she can really make a difference, you know, to those listeners who may be having problems in their relationship in terms of having their voice heard, in terms of not getting that feeling of rejection or abandonment from their partner, you know, because relationships have a nasty tendency of staling after a while, where a partner sort of maybe takes us for granted or what have you. So we're essentially going to be, you know, we could subtitle this show when relationships go wrong, or when relationships run wild, or when relationships run amok. You know, that would be a good way of describing it. And it's all about getting control over that sort of thing, which is always laudable. But we come to the end now of this week's show. We thank Doug, who always works hard behind the scenes to keep us on track. And I thank also Maureen and Steve, my wonderful co-hosts, for joining us tonight. And next week we will have Heidi Goodrich. Have a great week, everyone. See you next Thursday.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.